From The Conversation, this is Politics with Michelle Grattan, a podcast where Michelle discusses the issues of the day with The Conversation's politics team.
Hi, my name is Amanda Dunn. I'm the Politics and Society Editor for The Conversation, and I'm speaking with Michelle Grattan. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Amanda.
Michelle, the dispute between Australia and France over the cancelled submarines contract shows no sign of abating, with the French ambassador today saying Australia's actions were a stab in the back. And this comes on top of French President Emmanuel Macron accusing Scott Morrison of lying over the deal. How bad is this for the Prime Minister, do you think?
It's very bad. Certainly it's appalling internationally, and it is very bad domestically too, because it does send a message about the Prime Minister's character. And of course, Malcolm Turnbull has climbed into this argument saying that Scott Morrison lied to him and that people know he lies. All that is a big negative for the Prime Minister. I am a bit doubtful about whether, come the election, that will have an effect. I think that these things do pass, and while it does have an impact on what people think about the Prime Minister, I think that they will be more inclined to make wider judgments and less inclined to take France's side in this argument than Scott Morrison's side. Having said that, however, I think that one has to say that it's been an absolutely dreadful week for Scott Morrison. He'll be thankful to get home, although the reverberations no doubt will continue for a while yet when he does get home. He had a stopover a little while ago on the way back in Dubai, gave a press conference, was hammered by the latest remarks of the French ambassador, and said that he thought that people should now move on, but moving on will take a while and be quite tricky.
It's important now that we all just move on, frankly.
Yes, Morrison hasn't really handled this situation very well, has he? I mean, it is quite extraordinary for a world leader to come out and accuse another of lying, but nonetheless, it hasn't been handled with a great deal of subtlety.
Certainly hasn't, and his response, the government's response, has been to leak text messages or a text message from the French president, and that is really a diplomatic no-no. Scott Morrison's answer to criticism of his action there is to essentially argue, well, the French president's claims had to be answered, but I think the whole handling of this matter by Scott Morrison has been very poor. On the other hand, of course, it was a fairly extraordinary situation in which he found himself with an international leader just being so blunt in the accusation that he'd lied.
And he also took the opportunity to inform Prince Charles of Australia's climate policy while he was at COP26, didn't he?
Well, this was quite interesting to see the pictures, because he met the prince. Of course, the prince had that quote when it looked as though Scott Morrison mightn't attend Glasgow, which was really being a bit surprised at that and making encouraging noises that he should be there. But Scott Morrison blurted out Australia's policy, net zero, and various other points, and looked as though he was giving the prince the full marketing spiel. The prince looked a little startled by the intensity of it all, and no doubt wanted to move perhaps onto more general observations about the conference.
And Michelle, onto the conference itself. One of the key pledges from the summit has been more than 100 nations agreeing to reduce methane emissions 30% below the levels they were at 2020 by 2030. Australia is one of the countries who's refused to sign up to that deal. How significant is that, do you think?
I think it just reinforces the point that Australia's position going into this conference was a very minimalist one. Yes, there was the embrace finally of the 2050 target, and we know all the traumas around getting that deal with the Nationals, but the shorter term target wasn't increased. Rather, the government said it projected that Australia would do much better than that shorter term target, and the refusal to sign up to the methane commitment was announced before Scott Morrison left for Glasgow. The Nationals claimed some credit for this. You'll remember that there was a bit of a dispute. Scott Morrison said the government never intended to sign up to it at all, and so you had Barnaby Joyce on a different line than the Prime Minister. But it is unfortunate, I think, that Australia is obviously in a minority of countries in not signing up for it, but not surprising, because I think that to have signed up to that would have been certainly a bridge far too far for the Nationals, and they obviously made it clear that that was the case. And Scott Morrison just wanted to do the minimal possible to try and have a respectable position at this conference, but not an ambitious one, and one that falls short of what many commentators, if not most commentators who are expert in this area, think that Australia should have had.
We know that Scott Morrison was prevaricating a bit about actually attending the COP26 summit in Glasgow, but he was eventually coerced into it. Do you think he's glad he went?
I wouldn't think so, but maybe he still thinks that he had to go. But I think that it's not the conference so much, but the whole trip has been really pretty disastrous for him, because even when he was at the COP26 conference, his presence there for him was overshadowed by the argument with the French. And in terms of the conference itself, well, Australia was a bit player who was seen to have a position that should have been a lot better. Of course, Australia, though, was not at the centre of things. The larger players were the ones that everyone was concentrating on. The conference itself is having an outcome which is not meeting the expectations, the hopes indeed, that many had for it just a little while ago, certainly that President Biden wanted, that Boris Johnson wanted.
All right, Michelle, terrific to talk with you as always. Thank you.
Thanks, Amanda.
Our theme music is by Blue Dot Sessions. You can find more podcasts from The Conversation on our website at theconversation.com.